I've been trying to do something on the Ten Commandments, and as soon as I say commandments, it sort of raises those things. The Ten Commandments were given to set us free rather than to entrap us or ensnare us in a bunch of rules and regulations. So I want to try to do a little bit of that today, of explaining this one commandment, honor your father and mother. A Pharisee once asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And what he meant by the law at that point was the Ten Commandments. Which is the greatest commandment in all the commandments? And Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. He didn't stop there. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as you do yourself. All the law, all the Old Testament laws, all that the prophets have said, hang on these two commandments. What Jesus did at that point was to take the Ten Commandments and sort of boil them down into two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the first ones are concerning our relationship with God, right? The first four. The last six commandments are concerned with our relationship with our fellow human beings. He begins the Love Your Neighbor as Yourself series with honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you. Now, this is a commandment, I think, that goes clear back to Adam and Eve. And it's just, probably got distorted along the way, and God reemphasized it to the people in the Ten Commandments. I think it's important that the honor your father and your mother begins the whole section of honoring or loving your fellow human beings. It serves as a basis for all of the others that follow about how to love our human beings, other human beings. And it's important we know that God established this law. He gave it. It's not a man-made law, honor your parents. Every culture has a version of this command. It may be distorted versions, but every culture has a version of this command within it. The Chinese culture has a very strong emphasis on this part of God's law, even though they've never read the Bible, or the beginners of the culture's respect for parents did not come from the Bible. It's what God planted in the human heart before, and it got distorted somewhat. Billy Graham said, a child who is allowed to be disrespectful to his parents will not have true respect for anyone. And that, I think, is very, very true. I want to try to do some of what this commandment means. Number one, we are to respect those who gave birth to us and provided for us through the years. We need to value them very highly for them and respect them even when we're upset with them, kids. I got upset with my parents about things that they did or didn't do. Maybe more of that later. But parents are worthy of our respect. By respecting them, we are respecting the God who allowed them to conceive us and give birth to us. If we disrespect our parents, we disrespect God. Secondly, we are to submit to them. That's obvious from this command, but also Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 says, children, obey your parents, for this is proper and right. Obviously, some things in this parent-child relationship change as children mature and get older. If you're 20 years old and your mom says, drink your milk or you can't have a cookie, that doesn't sit very well, where for maybe a three-year-old, that works. So the obey your parents thing sort of changes a little bit as time goes on, but the idea of respecting and obeying parents does not disappear. Ephesians chapter 5 and 6 teach us a proper submission to relationships, all our relationships. You recognize some of this. Wife is supposed to be submissive to her husband. Husbands, though, are supposed to be submissive to their wives. Children are to be submissive to their parents, but parents also, in a particular way, must be submissive and respectful of their children, because in Colossians chapter 3, the Lord says, "Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged." So there's to be a mutual understanding and submission in this part of the family relationships. Servants are to be submissive to their masters, but masters are in some ways to be submissive to their servants. So Paul's conclusion to all of this in Ephesians chapter 5 is, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So clearly God commands us to learn submission to authority, and that begins in childhood, in the home. Ideally, this is the way God intends things to work, that parents are submissive to Christ. The children see the parents being submissive to Christ, and therefore they understand that idea of submission to the parents themselves. So they see and learn how this is to be carried out in practice. And childhood is the time, and home is the place, where this submission is to be learned and demonstrated on both sides of the equation. It's important for children to learn this as they mature. If a child is a rebel against his parents, he will be a rebel against God. And it's important that this submission be more than just a sort of an outward conformity. It has to be planted in the human heart so it comes naturally and without resentment. Otherwise, it may just become outward conformity, like the kid I heard of that one of his parents said, "Sit down." So he sat down, but inside he's saying, "I may be sitting down, but I'm standing up on the inside." That is conformity. That is not submission. Just as an aside, I've run across some very good parents in my life. Most of them are pretty good. But I have also run against some bad parents. One father came to me, and he said, "What is this church teaching my kids? They don't listen all the time." And I said, "We have them for 2 hours a week. You have them all the rest of the week. How come you're blaming us?" And then I said, "Do you know something? The Bible teaches that parents are to obey the Lord." This guy wasn't a Christian. "Parents are to obey the Lord. When they see the kids see the parents obeying the Lord, they then understand about obedience, and they can be obedient to the parent. So just don't blame it on us." Thirdly, all this honor and respect, value, submission, it has to become ingrained in the human heart in order that our parents will be assured that they are secure as they grow older. When parents are young, they're not thinking too much about this. But as parents age, they're sometimes a little bit less secure about what's going to happen in the future. Now, I know in the Chinese culture that, maybe not in your particular culture, but the one I'm used to in Chinatown, the parents often reminded the kids, "When I get old, you're going to take care of me," that kind of thing. As I was growing up, I never heard that once. Never. Because my parents just assumed they're treating us right and helping us. So in the future, if we need help, they'll come to our aid. But parents need to be assured of this, and honor and submission and respect as we're growing up and as we grow older helps them to be assured of it without constant asking, "Are you going to take care of me?" They're to be remembered and watched over their later years, and children need to make sure that parents feel secure about their old age. They should not be worried that as they grow older, they will be abandoned. And this is where some parents who are not very who are neglectful and not very honorable in some ways, begin to fear because they're getting older and they realize, oh, I can't do what I used to do. What's going to happen to me? Because they're not sure whether their kids are going to honor them or not. God's heart is with children, obviously, with orphans, he says that, the aged, the infirm, and the widows, he says that. He's with those kinds of people in a special way. He wants his own people to honor the desires of his heart. And Paul emphasizes that to Timothy to teach to the people in, I believe it was Ephesus where he was. So Paul says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now he's speaking to Christian people when he says that. So he sees the problem sometimes that even arises among Christians. An illustration of how this can be carried out, let me give you one from the Old Testament, and that is Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. If you know the story, Naomi and her husband and their two sons moved to a Moab, I believe it was, for a period of time because of famine and other things. While they were in Moab, the sons married Moabite women, not Jewish women. And then both the husband of Naomi and the two sons, they all died. And after a while, Naomi decided she wanted to return to Bethlehem and leave the two daughters-in-law with their own families. Ruth was one of those daughter-in-laws, but she refused to stay in her country when Naomi wanted to go to Bethlehem. She said to Naomi, "Wherever you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates me and you." What Ruth was doing was giving Naomi an assurance that whatever comes, you're not going to be abandoned. I will see that you are taken care of as you ought to be. So they moved back, and Ruth provided for herself and for her mother-in-law by picking up grain that was left in the fields as the harvesters went through. It would be a hard job and all. But she made sure that Naomi was not abandoned or neglected in her old age. So respect, submission, honor, value. These are ways we should honor our parents. Now, let me give some practical ways for this to work out. For children and teens, obey quickly and with a good attitude. When I was a kid, I was guilty of a bad attitude a lot of times. I obeyed because I knew what would happen if I didn't, but the attitude was not very good. If you put something off that your parent has asked you to do, you're likely to forget it. And your parents won't just think you forgot it. They'll think you ignored them the whole time. One mother was telling me recently, she's got a teenage daughter. I asked my daughter to do this, and she's got her nose in a book, and she almost doesn't pay any attention to me, doesn't get up to do anything about it right then, and I have to remind her again and again. And she doesn't know whether it's just laziness or not wanting to obey, or whether the girl is so interested in the book and things she keeps forgetting. Secondly, show appreciation. Remember that your home and your clothes and your food and your toys and all your gadgets didn't drop from the sky. Your parents paid for them. You didn't. Because even if they gave you money to buy it, guess where the money came from? From your parents. you didn't do anything to really deserve them. If you were like me as a kid, lots of times you got what you didn't deserve. So be thankful and express it by saying thank you. Thirdly, trust them. They have your best interests at heart, even though you might not know it or understand the reasons. As we get older, we can look back and see that some of the things our parents have told us were for our good, but we resented them maybe at the time. Fourth, help around the house even without being asked to do so. Fifth, if your friends are dissing their parents, don't join in. In fact, you should be able to think of some good thing about your parents that you might be able to say to them that might help them realize some of the things that they've been dissing their parents about. Sixthly, tell them that you love them, even if it embarrasses them. And for teens in particular, tell your parents what's going on in your life. When they ask how was school, or how was this, or how was that, don't say, Tell them. Talk respectfully to them. For young adults, I don't know if there's any here, if you're still living at home, you're supposed to obey your parents. There are house rules. Just because now you are grown, but you're still living in their house, obey the house rules as you should. And if you're living at home and you have a job, help out with some of the family expenses and help with the housework and keep your room clean and orderly. I have been in some rooms that I think, you know, I have trouble finding things in my place. I try to keep it in order. But some of the rooms I have been in, I think, oh man, how do they ever find anything? How do they know what's good and what's bad in it? If you no longer live at home, though, call regularly and make sure that things are okay at home. And tell them that you love them, even if it embarrasses you and them too. Now, for all adults, that is anybody, well, I won't mention ages, for all adults. Number one, walk with your parents through the transitional periods of life, like when they're badly sick or as they do get older. A lot of people are losing their insurance, and these people are in, 50s, 60s, 70s, and it's a very disconcerting time for a lot of them. Walk through them with these transitional periods in life. Secondly, help facilitate the relationship, if you have kids, between your kids and your parents. Because sometimes that's an awkward situation on both sides. The parents feel a little bit awkward, or the grandparents feel a little bit awkward with the grandkids, but they want to be with them. The grandkids want to be with the grandparents, but it's an awkward kind of thing. As parents, help them try to resolve some of this awkwardness. Thirdly, remind them of the good things that they have done for you. Sometimes they've heard so many bad things that they forget they've ever done anything good for you. So remind them. Fourthly, don't consider them a burden. They raised you, didn't they? And I'll bet you are a real burden to your parents, if you're anything like I was when I was young. And fifthly and last, don't let them feel that no one cares anymore. Sometimes parents may feel that way. What about non-Christian parents? For the most part, everything I've covered to this point is due to them at every stage of life. Just like that. But, you know, through 36 years of living in New York City and dealing with kids in the church and families and what's going on outside, I have met some parents who are negligent or less than honorable. What about these parents? What about how do we relate to them if we're a child, one of their children? Through the years, I've heard some stories, or questions, I guess, that come with the story. If my mom tells me to lie to my teacher, what should I do? Should I listen to my mom? Or should I listen to God, who says, don't lie? My dad asked me to go out to buy him a newspaper, but my mom was mad at him, so she told me, don't go. What should I do? Now, this one I never heard in Chinatown, but I read about it. My dad ordered me to steal a watch for him. Should I obey him? If I don't obey, am I dishonoring my father? If I do obey, am I dishonoring God? So you see, among some young people, and older ones too, there are dilemmas because of parents who are negligent or less than honorable. A last illustration. What if I believe that God is calling me to be a missionary, but my parents object and say I shouldn't go? We had a guy in our church just recently, but he's been out in Indonesia for about a year. But he waited 2 or 3 years in trying to make sure his parents would understand that though he's going against their wishes and everything, that he loves them and cares a lot for them. And they still object because his mother keeps putting guilt on him, saying, what happens if I die while you're over there? Should I obey God at that point, or should I obey my parents' wishes? And it's not only, let's say, dishonorable parents who do things like that about missionary work. I have heard of good Christian parents who, at the point their kid says, God is calling me to be a missionary, says, oh, please, do something else. Yeah, that's dangerous. You don't get much for it. Do something else. So even Christian parents object at times. Where there is a conflict between parents' wishes and God's will, we must honor and obey God, even if it goes against our parents' wishes. I'm not talking to 4-year-olds, so that I don't mean that a 4-year-old can make a decision. Yeah, I'll just not pay attention to my parent at that point. An illustration of this. At 12 years of age, Jesus and his family went to Jerusalem for the Passover. 12 years of age is bar mitzvah time, if you know anything about that. Jesus, at that point in Jerusalem, separated himself from his parents and disputed with the religious leaders at the temple. While he knew that his parents and all the other people from Nazareth were getting ready to go back to Nazareth, he knew that. He did not get lost in the crowd and lose his parents. He purposely stayed in Jerusalem to debate in the temple, even though his parents were leaving. In response to his parents, when they found him a couple of days later, they scolded him, and he said, I must be about my father's business. But Luke adds very quickly after that, then Jesus went to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. He was not rebelling at 12 years of old. He was honoring God above conforming to his parents' wishes at that particular point. After that, he was obedient to them. So it was not a case of rebellion. And at the cross, it's obvious that Jesus wanted to honor, respect, and show his concern for his mother. So from the cross, he asked John to take care of her and to make sure that everything was okay on her behalf. So here's, I guess, the final kind of thing that I want to get across. Family ties must always be kept in perspective with our ties with with God and with his family. So here's a sort of tension of respect and honor and the ties to my family and respect and honor and my ties to God and to God's family. Luke chapter 14, Jesus says, anyone who wants to be my follower must love me far more than he loves his own father and mother, his own wife and children, his own brothers and sisters, even more than his own life. This teaches us that our love for God must transcend, must be above our love toward our natural family, where parents' desires for us and actions contradict God's desires. We must choose God's will and stand there, not in rebellion against the parents, not even doing it happily, but we must stand where God stands. Jesus warned that a person's enemies sometimes will be those of his own household. You remember Solomon, the second king of Israel, son of David? Solomon had children. One of his sons, Rehoboam, became king when Solomon died. Rehoboam was not good. He was not a good king. He was not a wise king. In fact, he was pretty evil. Rehoboam had a son, probably more than one, but his son Abijah succeeded him to the throne. And God's assessment of Abijah was this: he walked in all the sins of his father, and his heart was not right with God. And if you read the account, he was very evil. Abijah finally died, and his son Asa took the throne. God says of Asa, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Some of the things he had done now. Remember, honor your father and your mother. And that means even after they die, you don't go out and badmouth them. Asa destroyed his father's idols, and his father had encouraged idol worship, and Asa forbade the worship of idols. In that account, it says that Asa even deposed his grandmother, who was queen mother, because she had made an idol. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine, is it Prince William, ascends the throne and deposes the queen mother, Queen Elizabeth? It doesn't sound right, does it? And yet Asa did that. If he had followed his father and his grandmother, he could not have honored God as he did. And there are times when a Christian may need to stand firmly against parental influence in their lives. And if so, how should we implement this commandment if our parents or a parent is negligent or dishonorable? I think the first thing is make sure that you are not a rebel, that you are submitted to the authority of God, not a rebel against God or parents. We certainly need to pray for wisdom and courage. This guy in Indonesia prayed for 2 or 3 years about how to handle the situation so he could honor what God was calling him to do. Pray for your relationship with your parents that they will come to Christ. Always give parents respect and honor, no mockery or contempt, just because they are not what they ought to be. Obey your parents' lawful commands, from the principle of love. Lawful commands, I mean, commands that don't oppose God's commands. Submit to their rebukes. Don't just be hard-hearted toward them. And never abandon them, and never let them think that you will abandon them. Endeavor to be their comfort and to make their old age secure. So give them support when they need it, as much as you can do. Show them that where you and God are, or they and God are opposed, you don't lightly disregard them, even if that hurts you and hurts them. But God has to take precedence at that point. So I guess the end is, stand where God stands. And that means you need to know your Bible to know where God stands. honor and obey God, and in the end, you will not have failed to honor your parents. Not in the end. You will not have failed to honor your parents, even though they might accuse you that you have dishonored them. If you stand where God stands and honor and obey Him, that's enough. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us not just this commandment, but other instructions in Scripture which help us to understand it more fully. I thank you, Lord, for all the good parents that you have given to many of us. And that while we may have at one time or another been very insolent toward them, help us, Lord, to understand that and to correct it if possible. Certainly to confess it to you. But also help us to be able to show them the respect and the care that we have for them. In Jesus' name.